Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say ain't God good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It is good to be back home. And I have been very busy. Thank God for that. We've been in Waynesville. We've been in wherever that place is. Cuba. We've been. Thank you, brother. I told some of the men, I said, I don't know all the places I've been, but and then this Sunday I had to preach twice. I preached in for Brother Owens at Jefferson City, and then went over and preached for Brother Phillips in Fulton, and had tremendous church. I thank God for that. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm really glad to be here. And so I heard that somebody was supposed to preach Jack and the Beanstalk, and so amen. But no, that's not what I'm gonna preach tonight. Amen. I do ask you to pray for us. Tobin, I'll give you a little bit of update. He has underwent the last 2 weeks, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, having extensive chemo, and then this week they just took him yesterday. Because his blood count was so low, they had to do a transfusion and then do platelets as well. And so he's doing better now. And we thank God for that. I don't know how much longer this is going to go, but we're going to believe God. And I guess what I'm going to preach tonight has something to do with that. Amen. So, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn me to Genesis chapter 37, I want to say it's good to see everyone here. Amen. Praise God. I want to be a vessel that can be used by God. Amen. You know, I don't want to just preach. And, because I want to be used of God. Amen. I want my messages to affect someone. I want them to hit home. Amen. Praise God. So, and I, at this stage in my life, that's really all that matters. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to impress you. I just want to feel after God. Amen. Genesis chapter 37, I'm going to start reading at verse number 13. I'm going to have a lengthy reading tonight. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother? and conceal his blood. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Amen. Notice that verse 20 and through 25 says that Joseph's brothers conspired to kill Joseph and cast him into some pit. They planned to fabricate a story and say some evil beast hath devoured him. So they stripped him of his coat of many colors, and they cast him into a pit with no water in it. And after they threw him in the pit, they sat down to eat. And also take note of verses 26 and 27, which one of the brothers told the others not to slay him. Amen. For this will become important in just a little while. Amen. I simply want to use the setting of this story from these scriptures and simply preach about the pit. The pit. Amen. Brother Jared, would you pray? God, we love you. God, we need you tonight. I'm asking you, God, to anoint me. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I magnify you. I glorify you. Oh, God, would you anoint every ear in this house? Would you anoint everyone to hear, God, what the Spirit has to say? I believe you, God. I believe you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's love him. Come on, while you're praying, let's pray for, amen, Brother Riggin right now. Come on. I miss him tonight. I miss him. God, we need you. We need you to reach down and touch him right now. In the midst of, God, everything he's going through, God, you can touch him. You can raise him up, God. You can raise him up. I believe you, God. I believe you, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name, God. We're believing you for it. We're thanking you for it. God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody claim it right now. Somebody claim it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I will bless your name, God. I will exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. The story of Joseph is a twisting tale of ambition, envy, jealousy, hatred, deception, betrayal, forgiveness, redemption, and ultimately triumph over tragedy. When we read about the life of Joseph, Brother Hall, there are some things that cannot be denied. The scripture makes it very clear that he was chosen by God. It's obvious that Joseph was anointed by God and he had a God-given destiny. Not only was Joseph favored by God, but Joseph was also favored by his earthly father. And it's very apparent that God was with Joseph in every situation and circumstance. And that all sounds like a victorious combination. And judging from those factors, it looks like Joseph had it made. It would seem as though Joseph was living an extremely blessed life. But when we read through the scriptures from where we've taken our text, we find out that this same Joseph who seemingly had everything going for him, who was favored by his earthly father, amen, a man who had God-given destiny, a man who had the divine favor of God upon his life, one day he found himself in a pit. Let me stop here just for a few moments and tell you that if someone told you when you became a one God, tongue-talking, aisle running, shouting and dancing apostolic Christian, all your problems would be over and that you would never be hurt again, that you would never cry again, or you would never suffer again, they were either foolishly ignorant of God's word or they flat out lied. Because God, Psalm 34:19 says, amen, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And you need to understand that even saints of God have problems too. People who live for God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength get sick. people who love this truth and delight themselves in the Lord, they have problems. And people who come to church every time there's a service can sometimes make bad decisions and get themselves in debt way over the head. Anybody gonna help me tonight? Sadly, even apostolic Christians sometimes go through the bitter pain of divorce. Sometimes even apostolic Christians get their hearts broken. And there are times when even apostolic Christians get in places they shouldn't be. Sometimes even one God apostolic Christians find themselves in a pit. It may be a pit you might have fallen in. There are times when you might have made a wrong choice or a bad decision, and you jumped in and not realize or understanding that your decision or the choice you made was going to result you winding up in a pit. And then there is that instance like just what happened to Joseph. Sometimes someone pushes you into the pit. But no matter how you got in it, no matter what circumstance put you there, no matter who it was that might have pushed you into the pit, a pit is a pit. And if you stay in the pit long enough, you're going to die. You see, it doesn't take too long for dreams to die in a pit. It's just a matter of time before visions begin to die in a pit. It may be a slow and agonizing death, but sooner or later, amen, relationships will succumb to the effects of the pit. Marriages can die in a pit, and eventually even faith can breathe its last breath in the pit. Can I hear an amen? When we go back and we take another look at our scriptures, we see that it was Reuben that suggested that his brothers, that they throw Joseph in the pit. It was Reuben that said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness. We don't know what happened. There's no record at all what transpired. But whatever it was, we do know that Reuben was there when Joseph was thrown into the pit, but he was not there when he was lifted out. Reuben came back to the pit where he last saw Joseph, and Joseph wasn't there. Reuben was very surprised. In fact, Reuben was shocked because he saw Joseph go into the pit, and no doubt he saw him kicking and struggling and begging to be delivered from the pit. But now Reuben is standing looking down into that same pit, expecting to see his pitiful little brother, Joseph, full of fear and torment and confusion, stressing and crying and begging to be delivered. But Joseph wasn't there. I'm preaching somebody, amen, listen to me right now, that God is getting ready to do some things at True Church in Olathe that is going to shock some people. Is anybody going to help me? Does anybody else believe that? There are some people that saw you in the pit, and there are some people that may even help push you into the pit, and they have watched you struggling and scratching and clawing, and the last time they saw you, you were in the pit. Amen. The last that they knew about you, your life was a total mess, and they thought the pit was your destiny. But I came to preach to somebody tonight and tell you, you're going to come out of the pit. God, on the authority of the Word of God and the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming out of the pit. My God, I said, you're coming out of the pit. I pray to God someone in this place will get a hold of what I'm preaching and make your mind up. I'm coming out of the pit. I'm coming out of this pit. Woo! I don't know what type of pit it is you found yourself in today. Your pit may be a pit of past mistakes. It might be a pit of failures and a pit of regrets. Your pit may be a pit of financial mismanagement and debt. Your pit may be a poor health, sickness or disease. Amen. Your pit may be a pit of chemical dependency, bondage or addiction. Your pit could be a pit of despair, discouragement, despondency, oppression and depression. Amen. Your pit might even possibly be problems on your job or your work situation. Your pit could be a pit of marital problems. It looks so deep, so dark, and so impossible to you that you just feel like throwing in the towel and throwing your hands up and saying, I've had enough, I quit. Your pit may even be a spiritual pit. You just can't seem to feel God like you used to feel him. At times you're not even sure if God's even listening to your prayers. And you're feeling spiritually barren, dry, and disappointed. Can I hear an amen? I don't know what your pit is, because they come in all different shapes and sizes. And I may not know, amen, the harsh reality of the pit is for you. But what I do know is, amen, you don't have to stay in the pit. I said you don't have to stay there. You need to determine in your spirit that you spent your last night in the pit. I come to remind you tonight that the pit doesn't have to be the end of your story. Rather, just like Joseph's, it's only the beginning of the rest of your story. I have come to preach tonight to help someone recall what Psalm 30 verse 5 says. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, somebody praise him right now. Oh, you need to stand on the authority of the word of God and boldly proclaim what Micah chapter 7 and verse number 8 states. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Somebody go ahead and claim that now. Someone in this place needs to make a declaration tonight. Amen. I've got news for you, devil. I'm coming out of the pit. I've got a news flash for you, devil. The pit is not going to be my final dwelling place. And I've got some additional information for you, devil. This pit will not write the last chapter of my story. I said this pit is not going to write the last chapter of my story. I've got some news for all the imps and the demons of hell. Don't start your party yet, because the darkness of the pit is not going to stop the light of this world. Amen. And I have the assurance of Psalm 27, verse number 1, which states, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, come on, let's love him, let's love him. Woo! I love you, Jesus. I love you, mohosito. God, I love you, mohosiko, tiolabahakaya. Woo, yonno no mohosataya. My God. You know, there'll always be those people are supposed to be brothers. You know the kind I'm talking about. Those so-called religious folk who are supposed to be lovers of truth and righteousness, yet as Romans chapter 1 verse 18 informs us, they instead hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who claim to be lovers of God, yet 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 calls them lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Those who seem to have a form of godliness. I said they seem to have a form of godliness, but yet they deny the power thereof. Those individuals who give the impression of being spiritual, and they always sway in others with their supposed words of wisdom and their charismatic charm. However, Jude 16 says that they are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Woo, my, my. Don't get quiet on me. It is some of these very same individuals who are supposed to have the love of God in their heart, yet they seem to take some sort of a perverse sense of delight when a brother or a sister goes through a trial and they find themselves in a pit. Oh, yeah, they'll run the aisles with you. They'll shout and they'll dance with you, and they'll fellowship with you. They'll even claim to be your spiritual brother or sister, but they hate your dream. They can't stand the idea that you have a dream, that you have a vision, amen, to be all that God desires you to be, and that God has a purpose for your life. They despise the very thought that God just might have a plan for your life other than the pit.
They get so caught up with their planning and their scheme and trying to throw you into the pit. They don't even think about the possibility that God just might be using their schemes and their plans for His divine will and His divine purpose. Oh, somebody help me. They thought they knew you pretty good. And they thought they knew, amen, where to look for you. And they were certain that they would find you right where they left you. They were certain you would stay in the pit. Amen. They were so confident of your demise. They even talked about your pitiful condition to other people. They said it was over for you, that you were finished, that you were history. Why is it that some folks, amen, they seem to take a vicious pleasure in other people's pain? And why is it there are so many that want to kill the dreamers in the church? I know we don't have anybody like that here. Some of you are thinking, sitting there, is he crazy? That kind of stuff can't happen in the apostolic church. And I'm standing here looking at you thinking, are you crazy? Open your eyes. Just watch as God begins to bless someone in the church. Just watch as the blessings of God are poured out and see if some lukewarm, carnal-minded, and resentful, supposed to be saint of God, doesn't start getting jealous. And the next thing you know, they're conspiring to throw somebody into the pit. Don't let them stop you. Go ahead and dream. Go ahead and dream. And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost, Brother Jared. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but amen, this is what I felt. Watch as someone gets under a burden to do something for God. Watch as they start to dream of seeing revival. Watch as they dream about souls praying through. Watch as they step out by faith and start to work. Watch and see if their coat of many colors doesn't make someone jealous. Oh, God. And watch and see if the dream killers don't rear their ugly heads and watch, amen, and watch, and they want to throw someone in the pit. That's all right. Go ahead and dream. I said, go ahead and dream. Don't let them stop you. Amen. I said, don't let them stop you. Watch as someone, amen, starts dreaming about getting used of God in some manner. Watch as the pastor starts utilizing someone that's never done much before. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Watch as the anointing of God begins to move upon that person, and watch as they catch a hold of their pastor's dream, and then watch as the dream killers start conspiring to throw the dreamer into the pit. Oh God, that's okay. Just go ahead and keep on dreaming. Keep on getting the vision that your pastor's got. My God, my God. Martin Luther King wasn't the only one that had a dream. I said, I've got a dream. I said, I have a dream. And I believe there's some others in this place tonight. You've got a dream too. I said, you've got a dream. Amen. Yes, there will always be those that will do their best to discredit the dreamer. They'll do anything to try to stop the dreams. They detest the dreams. And they'll do anything they can to throw the dreamer into the pit. But don't let the dream killers keep you in the pit. I said, don't let the dream killers keep you in the pit. Yesterday, I might have been in the pit. Amen. Yesterday, it might have looked like I was going to die in the pit. And yesterday, it might have been even felt like I was going to die in the pit. But the pit didn't destroy my dream. Amen. Because I'm still preaching. I'm still here. I'm still standing on the word. Somehow I feel like Joseph said, I refuse to die in this pit. Somehow I feel like Joseph might have told himself, the pit, amen, this pit doesn't have to be fatal. This pit doesn't have to be the end of it all. Somehow I just can't help but believe that Joseph said, if it's the last thing I do, I'll get out of this pit. It looked like Joseph was going to die in the pit. And it felt like Joseph was going to die in the pit. But through a divine turn of circumstances, in a matter of minutes, Joseph was up out of the pit on solid ground. If you're in the pit, don't die there. I said, if you're in the pit, don't quit dreaming. If you're in the pit, don't quit believing in God. If you're in the pit, don't quit trusting in God. And if you're in the pit, don't quit expecting God to move on your behalf. I said, don't quit expecting God to move. Just keep believing. Keep praying, keep fasting, amen. And whatever you do, don't quit dreaming if you're in the pit, because I came with a message of hope for someone in this place. I came to tell you that the pit is not your final dwelling place. You're coming out of the pit by divine intervention.
I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't even know what set of circumstances he's going to use to do it. But I do have the assurance of the word of God that he's no respecter of persons. He delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And he brought Joseph up out of his pit. And if God delivered every one of them, he will deliver you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you in the pit. I said, he didn't bring you this far to leave you in the pit. I said, he didn't bring you this far to leave you in the pit. I want you to notice that it happened when it was least expected. Also notice it happened very suddenly. One minute Joseph was in the pit. One minute he was in the dark. One minute it looked like it was all over. Amen. One minute it looked like the end for Joseph. And then suddenly everything changed. Suddenly he was out of the pit. He was standing in the sunshine. Suddenly, amen, what seemingly was so final for Joseph was now just the beginning of another chapter. I'm preaching to someone in this place that you are standing on the verge of a suddenly that is going to change everything. Come on, let's love him right now. In Jesus' name, I said, I'm preaching to someone in this place. You're standing on the verge of a suddenly that is going to change everything. It was at one of the lowest points in Joseph's life, physically and spiritually, that God stepped in and everything changed. Woo! Let's praise him right now. God, I love you. I love you, God. Now I want you to notice who it was that got him out of the pit. It was Judah that got him out of the pit. It wasn't Joseph's coat of many colors that got him out of the pit. It wasn't his anointing that got him out of the pit. It wasn't even his dreams that got him out. It was Judah that got Joseph out of the pit. I can tell some of you don't have a clue what I'm trying to preach right now, so let me explain. Judah's name means praise. Reuben might have been the one that put him into the pit, but Judah got him out. I don't care how you got in the pit. I don't care who it was or what it was that pushed you into the pit.
I don't care how big your pit is or how long you've been in the pit. I just came to tell somebody that praise is going to get you out of it. I said, I come to tell somebody praise is going to get you out of it. If you're tired of the pit, start praising God in spite of your circumstance. Start praising him right where you're at. I said, start praising him right where you're at. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Anybody can praise God when the battle's over and the victory is won. Anybody can praise God after their sickness is healed. Anybody can praise God after the storm blows over and you're still standing safe and secure. Anybody can praise God when you got money in your pocket. Anybody can praise God when everything is good and the blessings are coming continually. Everybody can praise God when everything is going their way. However, it takes incredible faith to shout in the face of the devil. Tell me, I know about it. I'm telling you, I know about it. It takes incredible faith to shout in the face of the devil. It takes fortitude to praise in the face of the doctor's bad report, Brother Jerry. It takes determination to shout, amen, when you don't have two thin dimes to rub together, amen. Oh, God. Can I just be honest? I've been battling with my grandson. I said, I've been battling. Amen. God, amen, please don't take him. But I've started praising his name. Amen. I started praising God. It takes extreme courage when you're the one that's going through the fire to lift your hands and lift your voice and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. What I'm preaching tonight is, don't wait till the battle's over. Shout, shout, shout now. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now. God, I'm shouting by faith for little Tobin. I'm shouting by faith. I'm believing you, God. I'm standing on your word. Start in the dark when the walls are closing in on you. Start, amen, when you're laying in that hospital bed. Start when you're in the middle of your pain. Amen. Start when you're in the middle of your agony. Start praising God like Paul and Silas when you're locked up in the inner prison and at midnight with your hands and your feet bound and your back is beaten until it's bloody black and blue. Start when it looks like all hope is lost. Start praising God when you're in the bottom of the pit. I said you got to start praising God when you're in the bottom of the pit. When they're called, oh God. When the walls are closing in, you don't care about being dignified. When you're the one that's caught up in the heat of the battle, you don't worry about whether or not you're too loud. Oh, you're not concerned about every hair being in place. You're no longer, amen, bothered about your clothes getting messed up. When you're the one in the pit, all you want is out. I said, you just want out. I'm preaching to somebody and tell you, amen, amen. If you want out, he wants your praise. And I'm preaching to you to tell you that God said, if you want out, he wants your praise. He wants your praise through your tears and your groans. He wants you while your heart is breaking. He wants it through your tear-dimmed, bloodshot eyes. He wants your praise when it just doesn't make any sense. He wants it when it seems like all hope is lost. He wants it when it seems like it's crazy. He wants it when it seems like you're going through hell. He wants it when you don't even feel a thing. I want you to understand something. Job lost everything that he had. But after he had lost everything, after he had suffered more tragedy than a human being should ever have to endure, right in the middle of the darkest time in his life, Job gave God praise. The Bible says he arose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. It might have not been a pretty sight because Job worshiped through tears. I said Job worshiped through groans. Yes, he did. He worshiped with a broken heart. Oh, God. He worshiped through his pain. He worshiped through his confusion. And God gave him a beautiful future. And he was blessed twice beyond what he had previously had been. I tell you what it was his worship that kept him connected to his destiny. And in the end, God blessed him with more and restored everything and gave him double. We don't have the benefit of choosing the problems. We don't have the benefit of choosing the trials and the afflictions that come our way in life. Amen. We don't have, the benefit of choosing sickness or loss of a loved one, a debt or false accusation or even betrayal. But I can choose how I respond. I said, I can choose how I respond. You're not the only one to ever find yourself in a pit. I said, oh God, Joseph wasn't the only man of God who ever found himself in a pit. In the second verse of Psalm 40, David said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock, and he established my goings. Somebody ought to go ahead and shout right there. Let me tell you another one. Jeremiah, the prophet, found himself in a horrible pit. In Jeremiah 38 and 12, we can read, in Abimelech, the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, now put these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thy armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. They offered Jeremiah, the man of God, the prophet of God, a mighty man of faith and power, nothing, amen, but old, thrown out, filthy, rotten, stinking rags. And he put them under his arms and they lifted him out. Oh God, I know some of you are not going to like what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. The reason some of you haven't got out of your pit is you're just too proud. You want, my God, I felt that. You want to praise God on your terms. You want to praise God when something big happens. You want to praise God when you feel like it. You want to praise God when it makes sense. You want to praise God moderately, conveniently, quietly, and all dignified. You're prayed. Your pride is keeping you bound. Your pride is keeping you in the pit. And your pride is keeping you from getting your miracle.
God help me, God help me. Let's love him right now. I don't even want no musicians right now, I tell you. Amen. I'm gonna close. But before I do, I want to tell somebody tonight, if you think my praise might be a little bit extreme, that it might be just too emotional, that it might be too loud, it may be offensive, that's all right, because I expect it to get me out of the pit. I expect my praise to get me out of the pit. I wish I had somebody to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and just give God the best praise that you have. Amen. Don't dress it up.